Magan, PT, Sutherland. St. Helena, California, October 1900. Dear brethren Magan and Sutherland, I will attempt once more to write to you in response to your letters. I cannot at this time write much. I do not feel it my duty to write all that I could write, in truth, for it would not be the best thing to do. I must wait and watch and pray. I feel that the Holy Spirit is working you who are on the other side of the Rocky Mountains. But I have not light now that I should visit Battle Creek, and I shall not do this without a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." When God sees that the work He has given me will not be refused and rejected, and His instruction misstated and misappropriated, then I shall have a work to do in connection with those who will cooperate with me in the last great work before us. Calamities, earthquakes, floods, disasters by land and by sea will increase. God is looking upon the world today as He looked upon it in Noah's time. He is sending His messages to people today as He sent them in the days of Noah. There is in this age of the world a repetition of the wickedness of the world before the flood. Many helped Noah build the ark who did not believe the startling message, who did not cleanse themselves from all wrong principles, who did not overcome the temptation to do and say things which were entirely contrary to the mind and will of God. We need to consider every word we speak, lest undesignedly we give ourselves away. Do not trust in Sister White. It is your privilege to take God as His word. Ask, and ye shall receive. John 16, verse 24. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. James 1, verse 5 to 7. I will now come right to the point. You do not understand me. When I spoke of your petering out, I had reference to the impression which would be made upon others if you should, at this point, close up the school at Battle Creek. If this change were made now, if the school in Battle Creek were closed and the buildings sold, it would have the appearance that you were compelled to make the move. Have faith in God. He gave me the idea of giving Christ's object lessons for the relief of the schools. He is testing His people and institutions in this thing, to see if they will work together and be of one mind in self-denial and self-sacrifice. Carry forward this work without flinching in the name of the Lord. Let God's plan be vindicated. Let His proposition be fully carried out and heartily endorsed as the means of uniting the members of the churches in self-sacrificing effort. Thus they will be sanctified, soul, body, and spirit, as vessels unto honor, to whom God can impart His Holy Spirit. By this means they will accomplish the work God designs to have done. Should you at this time sell the school buildings, you would defeat the purpose of God. Stir up every family, every church, to do to the very utmost of their power, every one consecrating himself to God, putting the leaven of evil out of his heart, out of the home, and out of the church. Let every family make the most of this, the Lord's opportunity. Let self-denial and self-sacrifice be revealed. Let the teachers in the school do as others of God's servants are doing, cut down their wages. This self-sacrifice will be required of us all. Let all place themselves where they will be sure to receive the answer to their prayers. It is the cause of God which is at stake. The preciousness of life is to be appreciated because this life belongs to the Master. As long as we live, we are ever to bear in mind that we are bought with a price. Christ made of himself a whole and complete sacrifice for us, to make it possible for us to receive the gift of everlasting life. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. We have enlisted under Christ's banner for life service, and great responsibilities and possibilities are within our reach. There are, in the providence of God, particular periods when we must arise in response to the call of God and make use of our time, our intellect, our whole being, body, soul, and spirit, fulfilling to the utmost of our ability the requirements of God. Just now, let not the opportunity be lost. Let all work together. Let children act a part. Let every member of the family do something. Educate. Educate. This is an opportunity which God's people cannot afford to lose. God calls. Do your best at this time to render to Him your offering, to carry out His specified will, and thus make this an occasion for witnessing for Him and His truth. In a world of darkness, let your light shine forth. Let canvassers do their best in canvassing for the book, Christ's Object Lessons. Their work will serve a double purpose. They will place in the homes of the people a book containing most precious light, seed sown to bring truth to souls ready to perish. In receiving this seed into hearts, they will save their souls through belief of the truth. At the same time, means will be gathered for the relief of the schools. Twofold good will thus be accomplished in this work. Let it be done heartily as unto the Lord. Let all think soberly, for it is a solemn thing to live. Your life is not your own. You are kept by the power of God, and Jesus Christ desires to live His life in you, perfecting your character. He desires you to work to the utmost of your knowledge and power to carry out the purpose for which He gave you life. Use every capability as His. My brethren, after you have done all you can do in this work for the schools, by sanctified energy and much prayer, you will see the glory of God. When the trial has been fully made, there will come a blessed result. Those who have sought to do God's will, having laid out every talent to the best advantage, become wise in working for the kingdom of God. They learn lessons of the greatest consequence to them, and they will feel the highest happiness of a rational mind. This is the result that will surely come if you fulfill the purpose of God. Peace and intelligence and grace will be given. It is the design of God that we should all glorify Him, regarding His service as the chief end of our existence. The work that God calls you to do, He will make a blessing to you. Your heart will be more tender, your thoughts more spiritual, your service more Christ-like. If ye abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15, verse 7. In considering these things, my spirit rejoices in God. I could not sleep past 2 o'clock this morning. During the night season, I was in council. I was pleading with some families to avail themselves of God's appointed means and get away from the cities to save their children. Some were loitering, making no determined efforts. The angels of mercy hurried Lot and his wife and daughters by taking hold of their hands. Had Lot hastened as the Lord desired him to do, his wife would not have become a pillar of salt. Lot had too much of a lingering spirit. Let us not be like him. The same voice that warned Lot to leave Sodom bids us, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Those who obey this warning will find a refuge. Let every man be wide awake for himself and try to save his family. Let him gird himself for the work. God will reveal from point to point what to do next. Hear the voice of God through the Apostle Paul. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 12-13. Lot trod the plain with unwilling and tardy steps. He had so long associated with evil workers that he could not see his peril until his wife stood on the plain, a pillar of salt forever. I wish to say that the time will come when there will be a willingness to get out of Battle Creek. At present, let patience have her perfect work. There is to be a decided work done to accomplish God's plan. Make every stroke tell for the Master in the work of canvassing for Christ's object lessons. God desires His people to be vitalized for work as they have never been before, for their good, and for the upbuilding of His cause. Ministering angels will be round about the workers. Let our institutions make every effort to free themselves from debt. Let every family arouse. Let the ministers of our churches and the presidents of our conferences awaken. Let God's plan be worked out after the Lord's order. Then He will tell you what to do next. You will need to have patience with the tardy ones who do not feel the necessity of doing anything promptly, thoroughly, earnestly. They have so much to say, so much unbelief to express, and so much criticizing that they lose the peace and joy and happiness in the purposes of God before they can decide to move. We must become men and women of God's opportunity. I am so glad that so much harmonious actions has been shown in striving to carry out this purpose of God and to make the most of His providences. I have written some articles in regard to the bringing forward of foolish imaginings as tests, which are presented as food for the flock of God. This does not refer to either Brother Megan or Brother Sutherland. These are men whom the Lord at this time calls men of opportunity. They will be taught by God, and I do not wish any remarks I have made to be applied to them. The Lord will guide these men by His Holy Spirit if they will depend wholly on Him and not be too greatly surprised by the way in which He works to accomplish His ends. There are those whose lips need to be touched with a live coal from off the altar, that they may be cleansed from their rambling talk, and that their souls may be sanctified to understand by practical experience what is comprehended in a receiving of the Holy Spirit. We all need sanctified minds and hearts and tongues. When will God's people realize what is meant by the declaration, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned"? Matthew 12, verse 37. In this time of Satan's positive working, let the speech be guarded. Put a bridle upon the tongue. There are men rising up who are bringing in chaff and calling it wheat. They have a burning desire to originate something strange and new. I have letters of inquiry from several in reference to these things. I shall speak plainly in regard to them. But these questions have no reference to Brother Megan or to Brother Sutherland, in whom I have confidence as men who will respect the light and heed cautions if they are making mistakes. God has an oversight of the men who are striving to know and practice the truth. While you watch unto prayer and are willing to be corrected, the Lord will not let evil angels obtain the victory. Draw nigh unto God by faith, and He will draw nigh unto you. Put your whole dependence upon God. Then, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up for you a standard against the enemy. His power will not suffer the tempted soul who believes in Jesus to be overcome. There is need of exercising the most tender sympathy and kindness and love toward those who err from the truth. My brethren, remember the words, "Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." James 5, verse 20. We are all to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to watch unto prayer. Be not troubled that students do not come to the school. This may be in the providence of God. Do your duty to those who do attend, and labor for their conversion to the truth.